How do you sum up a life in just a few minutes? You don't. It's impossible for me to tell you anything more than my version of her story. And what I'm about to say is woefully inadequate to sum up the life of my mother, Sarah Barnes. But to follow her example, I refuse to allow a dearth of possibility to deter me. I can almost hear her voice say what she would say. Just have faith and do what you can. Mom was born in May 1941 in New Milns, Scotland, while World War II raged. She grew up under the hardship of war, the exacting standards of a father who was a master sergeant in the Royal Air Force and taught men to jump from airplanes, and health issues which resulted in multiple surgeries on her eye. She also faced the loneliness of an outsider as a working-class Scottish girl who earned a scholarship to a fancy English public school. All this could make any child perceive the world as a dangerous place, or it could give a girl as strong and fierce as my mother something enduring, courage. Growing up on and around Royal Air Force bases, Mom and her sister Jean encountered that strange creature known as an American. Americans often had chewing gum or chocolate to give to the children of fellow warriors. And in the heavily rationed Great Britain, that was about as good as it got. America called, and Mom answered at 18 and moved across the ocean to New York City. Mom had faith and did what she could, and things worked out well. She quickly found work and really began to enjoy life in New York. She had a few rules about men, though. She didn't like to date Italians. Sorry, guys. Men from Brooklyn are definitely not sailors. My dad, a half-Italian naval reservist who hailed from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, convinced her to go out with him. Always the charmer, smart, sensitive, and creative. They were married 6 months later, in October 1965. They tried to start a family, but faced heartbreak after heartbreak from her early pregnancies. But Mom kept at it, showing that Scottish tenacity of hers that so many of you are inevitably familiar with. Have faith and do what you can. Then I was born in May 1971 at Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan. Only 14 months later came Adam, and only 2 years later, Eric. She got her family all right. Shortly after Eric was born, we packed up our life in New York, moved across the country to Oregon. Then 2 years later, Dad was called from teaching into the ministry, and we did the Oregon Trail in reverse and went to Kansas City, Missouri, so Dad could go to school at Unity Village. Mom had to work to get through school, and she worked for a massive engineering firm way out in a field office trailer where she had to put up with pranks that we now call harassment because she had mouths to feed. But being the fierce warrior she was, she struck back with a prank. I can't tell you the details in church, but she struck back with a prank so elegant, so bold, and so direct that she instantly gained the respect of the boys. Dad was called to a church in St. Louis, and off we went again. Every move was an adventure. Mom never got down, at least not in front of us. And as always, she was so quick to find the positive. Think of all the things you learn by living in so many different places, all the people you get to meet. Mom's faith and courage allowed her to give us boys the freedom to run wild, to get into scuffles, to get into trouble, and to thrive. She gave us room to become men by giving us the freedom to be boys. Oh, the adventures we had. Just be home for dinner by six. When Dad was offered a church with a school down here in Delray, we packed up again. Mom knew her first duty was to family. She worked to support Dad's ministry, and it sort of became a family ministry. The home she made was not just a home for us, but was home to many of our friends. Mom was mom to anybody who needed it. And there were many who accepted the hospitality given in love and became part of our family for as long as they needed. I don't know how she did it. I would think the Barnes brothers would have been too much. But then in 1989, it all seemed to come apart. Divorce is awful, and a public humiliating divorce is really awful. But she remained strong. Those were tough times for us, and we were so blessed to have good friends who were there. When faced with homelessness as an effect of the divorce, Mom reached out for the sake of her boys. My brothers stayed with the Warners, while Mom and I lived with Connie Glass until she could fight for enough money for a home of her own. My plans to go away to college were shattered by the divorce, and our family was torn apart. I was consumed with rage and thirsted for vengeance. But even in my mom's own immense pain and anger, she took a higher road and always encouraged us to forgive and to remain in positive relationship with our dad. At 18, I enlisted in the Navy, in part so my mom would have one less mouth to feed. I will never forget the call that I got from Dr. Warner while in nuclear power school. Come home today to see your mom. She may not make it through the night. She was battling a mysterious illness that eventually claimed both kidneys and nearly killed her. But nobody warned that disease who it was trying to kill. She survived and entered the world of dialysis and endless doctor visits. Not letting it get her down, she began to thrive and even volunteered as a patient advocate, helping others to adjust to a hard new reality. And she got on the list for a transplant. Sticky paper. This new challenge did not stifle one bit her commitment to her duty as a mother. Although she was quite sick, she continued to support her boys, working two jobs so that we could have what we had been promised, an education. She got both Adam and Eric through high school and continued to support us as only a mom can do. Mom helped Adam get through PBCC, then Palm Beach Atlantic, and on to teacher certification. And today he brings joy and awareness to people through his teaching and his music. Eric served in the Marines, and when he came home, Mom gave him a place to live while he went through paramedic training. He's now a lieutenant in the St. Lucie County Fire Department, a fine father, a leader, and a trainer of the men and women who serve beside him, ensuring the current and future safety of his community. No offense, guys, but thanks, Mom. Mom did all this and so much more because that is who she was. She looked after her boys through both the salad days and through the fog of war. She always looked for a way to help, always humble enough to be the servant, the one behind the scenes. She had faith and did what she could. But dialysis began to take its toll, and her health became more and more fragile. Complications ensued. It started to look grim again. Then in 2001, she was given the miraculous gift of a donor kidney. Here's the plug. Check the box. Become an organ donor. You can't imagine the gifts that you can give. She followed every instruction from her doctors to care for this gift. Someone gave her life for it, and Mom never forgot that and remained ever grateful for her second lease on life. Service, I've been told, is gratitude in action. Proof of it, if you will. She became certified as a Montessori teacher, followed her passion of educating the little ones. I invited Mom here to church in the early aughts, and in no time at all, she was in a small group, hospital ministry, and helping run the preschool for vacation Bible school. She found a new home. Her group called itself the Miracle Mamas, and indeed they were. As a member of this faith community, Mom found so many ways to serve and to be served. And I cannot express my gratitude for the Christian hospitality the St. Joseph's family has offered and delivered. The gift of her kidney also gave her the chance to revel in the great joy of her grandchildren. She rejoiced in every minute with them, reading to them, making crafts with them, and laughing with them when they were silly. She was so proud, and she so loved Corinne and Everett and Matilda. As her health faltered over the past few years, she always found energy to talk with a friend, to visit with her grandchildren, to continue her life of service. But when that operation claimed her kidney and she was back on dialysis, she found it much more taxing than before. She valiantly fought to make the most of this new life, but discovered that the machines kept her alive, but wouldn't let her truly live. When she made her decision to stop dialysis and enter hospice, my heart broke. But I honored her courage to set her terms. I came down to Florida to be with her. She had always been so supportive of my life in New York, but I knew I needed to be here. It was my turn. These last weeks were at times difficult and full of fear. For me, Mom never wavered. And at times tender and sublime. Matilda and Manda came down to spend time before the lack of dialysis took a toll. And as Mom explained to Matilda her decision and what it meant, Matilda simply said, "Well, yeah, Gaga, that's your soul. It won't die. I'm glad we got to go to Lion Country Safari together, Gaga. That was my favorite." But Matilda and I still cried ourselves to sleep every night. There were tears, laughter, Adam's birthday dinner. Eric, Angie, Corinne, and Everett came to visit. We were all together as a family once more. Last bedtime stories and final games together. That was what Mom wanted. We were reflecting her strength back to her. Strength she gifted to all of us by faith and courage. During the final week after stopping treatment, I was alone with her as her decline accelerated and she faced her certain end. "Thinking of me and not herself," she said, "I've really enjoyed our time together. I never got to spend time like this with you. You left home so young. You're a good guy, Ian. Thank you for coming back." And all I could say was, "That's what you taught me, that family does." That was what was most important to her, family. And perhaps more important, the glue that holds family together, the stuff that makes a home, the stuff we call God and sing hymns to, the stuff behind courage, the stuff that fuels tenacity, the stuff that brings us all here together today, the stuff of love. Love. Mom lived her life by love, fought ferociously for her boys with love, opened her home to anyone in need with love, served others in love, made her decision to die on her own terms out of love, and walked courageously toward the end in love. And perhaps the nature of love itself means that there never really is an end, only a threshold to cross. Mom crossed that threshold the way she lived in this world, with faith, fortitude, courage, and love. I'll always miss you, Mom.
Ian, Adam, Eric, Jean, and all the rest of Sarah's family, on behalf of St. Joseph's Episcopal Church and School, I give you our deepest condolences on the passing of Sarah Tierney Barnes. your mom, your sister, your grandma, your friend. We, her church family, and her other friends are grieving too, but not nearly as you all are and as you will. Many of you here gathered have known Sarah for many, many, many years, as have I. I was actually got to be the youth director over at Unity for Eric and Ian. Adam and Ian. Eric was too little, but there were stories there as well that I won't share in church. Sarah and I shared on numerous occasions the challenges and the joys of mothering our boys. We cried together, we rejoiced together, and always, 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 Eric and Adam and Ian, she spoke of how much she loved you. And just a few weeks ago, she told me how proud she was of all of you. And she said that Eric, that's Eric, he's Eric. Adam, that's Adam, he's Adam. Ian, that's Ian, he's Ian. And I'm so proud. And she was. Each of you for your own unique way of living. Many of you here gathered may have just known Sarah for a few years and knew her in different ways, some as colleagues in the ministry of children in church or school, some as a teacher, a co-worker, a friend. And some of you here gathered may not have known Sarah that well at all, but you're here to support one of her sons, her family, and for that I know she is grateful. So whether you've known Sarah for a long time or barely at all, know that the way she chose to pass from her earthly body and this celebration service of her life are direct reflections of her. She knew what she wanted. She lived on her own terms, and she died on her own terms. We were able, Ian and I, to sit down with her and plan this service several weeks ago. And I'll tell you, she picked every bit of it. She picked all the readings, all the songs, our musician, the people serving. And she gave me a reading for today for all of you, especially her family, from the Jewish tradition that I'll share with you in a moment. Sarah died as she lived, again, on her own terms, courageously, joyfully, lovingly, practically, and gently. She was down to earth and yet so sophisticated and so very wise. The readings she selected were her favorites and ones that I see as themes of her life. The reading from Ecclesiastes, she said, has been with her her whole life. This reading about a time for every season, every purpose, it showed her practical side. She was very sensible. And if she said it once, she said it 100 times to me, and maybe to some of you, I just don't want any drama. I can still hear her saying that. And then I can hear her say, it's just time for me to go. It's just time. In the Psalm 139 that we all sang together is reflected her deep awareness that she is known and loved by her Lord. And because she wanted this service to be all about love, she picked that chapter from 1 Corinthians that you hear at weddings because she believed it so strongly and lived it so deeply. She said to me, that says it all, really. And the gospel she picked, she chose because of its including all people, whether they know Jesus Christ or not. We had a beautiful conversation about this. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And the way, the truth, the life that was the way of Jesus in all his humanity gives all of us the blueprint for the way that we are to connect with our Creator, whether we've ever known Jesus or not. So yes, Sarah was practical. She was faith-filled and all about loving. You could see this love most poignantly in the brilliant, shining way she was with the littlest children. She was always drawn to tending them. 6 years older than her sister, Sarah said she helped raise Jean. Come the time to go to school, Sarah chose a pediatric nurses training school in England. And when she moved to New York, it was as a baby nurse, as she called it. And then she taught preschoolers at Unity, and then here. And when I wrote to Dee and Marty about her passing, Dee texted me from a little church in Croatia where she said they prayed for Sarah and for her boys. And she said she would always remember Sarah as a child whisperer. Indeed, Sarah could calm the most frazzled little ones because they knew she was all about loving them. And anyone who saw Sarah with children knew that we were in the presence of something sacred. At the end of this service, Sarah's wish is that we will all join together in singing, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." And she wants us to hold hands. So I have prepared the words to that song to be projected so that we can put down our leaflets and look up and hold hands, declaring peace for the children and for all people in Sarah's honor. In closing, here's that writing that she gave me to read today. It's the first of something called Meditations Before Kaddish. And she said this is a message especially for her family. And Kaddish is the term for Jewish prayers when someone dies. When I die, give what's left of me away to children and old men that wait to die. And if you need to cry, cry for your brother walking the street beside you. And when you need me, put your arms around anyone and give them what you need to give me. I want to leave you something, something better than words or sounds. Look for me in the people I've known or loved, and if you cannot give me away, at least let me live in your eyes and not in your mind. You can love me best by letting hands touch hands and by letting go of children that need to be free. Love doesn't die, people do. So when all that's left of me is love, give me away. Amen.